Let's go to the book of Acts. All right. Having your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16, please. We'll begin reading in verse 20. Read the down through verse 34. Verse 20 of chapter 16, down through verse 34. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." It's speaking about Paul and Silas, of course. They now have been brought to the magistrates because of what they've been doing. "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.' They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house." I've read to you a story found in the book of Acts. I want to hurriedly say, having read what I've read, that I believe this is an actual, literal, truthful story. I believe that. I see here as I read this story and visualize in my mind somewhat of the setting, that I understand that this story unfolds over a period of 2 days. Part of it being in the early afternoon, possibly, and later on in the afternoon of one day, into the midnight, and then the other part unfolding on into the morning hours of the next day. But I see it as an actual literal story. I don't believe it's anything of a writing of fiction, some dramatized story or like. I believe it to be an actual story, or stories I might sit down and write later on today, that as I attended this church, I observed certain things and individuals and the like. I believe it to be a story of truth. I believe all the Word of God to be a book of truth. I don't have any difficulty this afternoon believing what this book says. I learned early on in life that what my family used and what the preacher used and what I believed was not just a book, but it was the Bible.
Amen.
The Word of God.
Amen.
One preacher put it this way, Brother Roger, that it is the believer's instructions before leading her. I want to say to those that are under the sound of my voice that I'm in this world, but I'm not of it, and I will be leaving. A number of those that I have known through the years and the course of time have already left, and they await my presence.
Yeah.
And that wonderful shore.
Yeah.
And that place called heaven.
Yeah.
And I have many times become very excited about getting there.
Yeah.
Before I left Knoxville a few days ago, I've been praying for a number of days about my making my way to here and coming up through Kentucky and then going from here on into Maryland. And I became very excited about being able to come and share the gospel with the souls of mankind. I'm excited to know that everything in my life is fully fixed. And that my home today is not a home in Mascot, Tennessee, but a home in glory. I acquired that as a youngster one day because I believed what this book says. And I still believe it to this day, even being an old man. My daddy lived to be 86 years old, and when he died, he believed this book. He said to my wife and I, as we were there one late in the night, and he was suffering, his comment was to me, "Son, you can't live here forever, but there is a place where you can go and live forever." And I believe that. So with what I've said today, you readily recognize that I don't have any problem believing the truth. The truth is very easy for me to believe. It's the lies that I have such great difficulty with.
That's right, brother.
I believe the reason that I have the great difficulty that I have today with the lies that are told is I have it because I have known what the truth is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Truth and lies, or light and darkness, cannot mix. They can't equate with one another. They're totally at the opposite ends of the scale. And I have no problem with declaring that today that I am a believer of truth. I love the truth. I'd never want to be told a lie. My dad didn't appreciate us boys lying to him. I didn't appreciate my children lying to me. And I don't appreciate anybody else lying to me. I like to be told the truth. Sometimes it's not so pleasant. Sometimes it's very difficult. But nevertheless, it's the truth that I've come to know and realize that will make the difference in my life. And it's that I believe the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We were raised as youngsters to believe and taught that if a man would lie to you, he would steal from you.
You better believe it. Amen.
And I still believe that today. So here today, as I look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to visualize what is happening in the story that is unfolding before us. Paul and Silas are men of God. And the very reason that they were brought before the magistrates and dealt with as they were was because they were preaching truth. This world does not appreciate truth.
Right.
No individual is sitting in this building today on the pews of Black Creek Baptist Church that's never been saved by the grace of God and not appreciate the truth.
That's right.
They've lived a good part, some most of their life, in deception.
Right.
The Bible tells us that in the closing hours of this dispensation of grace, that one of the very marks of the hour shall be the matter of deception.
Right.
The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that they would rather believe a lie and be damned because they receive not the truth. People do not want the truth. They'll go to great lengths. They'll extend themselves and go to great lengths to evade the truth.
Right.
They will rehearse to the hearing of their own heart repeatedly over and over again, more willing to believe a lie than truth. That's why we have all the volumes of heresy, lies, untruths, called Bibles.
Yes. Right.
Simply because they're unwilling to accept the truth. But I have before me today the truth. And the truth has set me free. I've been made aware of what the devil is and the fact of what this world is and all that goes with it because of nothing else but the truth.
That's right. Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
I don't walk in darkness any longer. I'm not a child of the night. I'm a child of the day. And being that the Bible tells me, I am so aware that day shall not overtake me as a thief in the night, so the Bible tells us. For if the good man of the house would be aware of the thief when he come, he would make himself ready.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I am ready.
Amen.
I am ready.
Amen.
I don't have to call my mama today to get ready.
Amen. Come quick.
What if that's a lie? I don't have to consult some deacon board or some preacher. I am ready.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something, it's not just the verbal statements that I make with my mouth that tells the world that I'm ready, but it's the life that I live that says I'm ready.
Amen.
Amen. I know where I've been this week. I know what I've been involved in. I know where I'll be at this coming week. I know what I'll be involved in. My life is an open book for all.
Amen.
To the truth that I believe the truth.
Amen.
You're alive. You're a two-faced liar. Because the Bible said anything that's not truth is a lie.
Right.
But the Bible said nobody calls me a liar. You're a liar. You know you're a liar. Deep down in your soul, where the very person that you exist and lives, you know you're a liar.
Come on.
And your children know you're a liar. And your friends know you're a liar. And your associates and the world knows. That's why they put no stop in you.
Come on.
I don't believe liars. But the Bible tells us here that two men had been preaching the truth. The truth will always get you in trouble in this world.
It sure will.
If you think Paul and Silas had been handing out that afternoon cupcakes with glitter on top of them and little droppings, you're a dreamer. If you think what brought on the situation here in that we read of in the book of Acts had to do with Paul and Silas wanted to be like everybody, you're crazy. Everybody don't like me. Don't bother me. Paul and Silas got in trouble because of the truth. And the scripture said they done some preaching and they done some truth preaching. And the scripture says here that they became upset in their cities. They troubled their cities. The problem is today with preachers, they don't want to trouble anybody. They're liars. They want to get along with everybody. They want to be accepted by everybody. Everybody don't accept me. So I said, well, you keep your mouth shut, but I'm not going to.
Yeah,
because I'm a preacher, not a playboy.
Amen.
And a pleaser. The Bible said, talking about Enoch that walked with God, sister Amy, he was a man that had the testimony that he pleased God. I'm going to please the Lord, and I'd rather please him than to please anybody I know. I'd rather walk with God than to walk with anybody that I could walk with. And Enoch had that testimony in a wicked and a dark hour that he pleased God. Not many folks anymore please God. They please their families.
Right.
That's why the family should take them to the reunion. That's why they get over here. They want to please their families.
That's right.
I'm not pleasing you, your family, or nobody just to be your friend. The Bible tells us that they were delivered to the magistrates. And the scripture says they were instructed to be beaten. Not a very pleasant situation. I guess they didn't live so sorry and low down. If they'd been living right, this wouldn't have happened to them. Yeah, you go ahead and believe that. That's the kind of ideology you've been taught in your little playhouse.
Oh.
The Bible said, yea, and all those that live godly shall suffer persecution.
You better believe it. Amen.
I've done well in life, but I could have been a lot further down the way in many respects if I'd been willing to please people.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'm not a big man. I'm not not a big name preacher, but I could have been. I know how to fill up buildings, and I have enough sense. I understand how you can do a lot of things. But you can't please God and please man.
Right.
You got to decide which way you're going to go and which you're going to do. And I long ago decided the fact that I was dealing with the souls of mankind, and they would be spending eternity somewhere in out yonder, heaven or hell, I decided it would be best to please God and preach
yes,
the truth.
Sir.
The Bible tells us here the multitude rose up together against them. There's in unison against Paul and Silas. Wasn't a small number, it was a multitude that came up against them. A crowd. I'm telling you, anytime you stand for the truth of this book and preach this book, you're going to face great opposition from the world, because most of the world is going to hell. The Bible said here that they ripped their clothes off of them, and they commanded them to be beaten. And when they had been laid with many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. The jailer. I don't see him as being much of an outstanding individual, other than the fact he was just a mere jailer doing a job.
Right.
He had these individuals delivered to him, and the instruction by those in authority over him was, I want them to be addressed and kept in prison and secured. And knowing the seriousness of their statement to him, he sought the innermost part of the prison and put them in there. And the scripture tells us here that he put them in stocks and bonds. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, the Bible said, prayed and sang praises unto God. I would before the Lord in heaven that Baptist churches would understand what it means to pray and sing praises and preach the word of God.
Amen.
All you need in a Baptist church is preaching, praying, and praise. Amen.
Amen.
All the other nonsense that's going on is foolishness. It's worthless. Ain't worth 15 cents to nobody. Preaching, praying, praising God. What's wrong with worshiping the Almighty? What's wrong with surrendering and bowing before Him and surrendering your heart and saying, Lord, you're everything to me. I want to praise you with the very ounce of my being. What's wrong with that? I tell you what's wrong with it. It don't appease the flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not what the flesh enjoys. The flesh wants to be recognized. The flesh wants to be Mr. It. The flesh likes notoriety. The flesh likes recognition. I want to tell you, what we need in our churches today is some old-fashioned preaching and praying and singing praises unto God. Amen.
Amen.
Most of these places I go to is twice dead and plucked up by the roots. The Bible tells us here that suddenly there was a great earthquake. I do not believe they were working out on the street next door. And because there was a rock there, they needed to do some flashing explosions. I don't believe that. So go write you a little book or hand me one that says that. I believe, Brother Rucker, there was an earthquake.
Amen.
To the severity of that being that the jailhouse doors were barely hanging on the hinges.
You've got to
believe that. Somebody said, take a pretty feeble mind to believe that. Chalk me up, feeble.
You got it.
Amen.
Put me on your left.
I'd rather be feeble than be an idiot.
Yeah.
The Bible said that the earthquake came and it shook the jail. I tell you, not only did it release the prisoners, but it woke up the jail. You know what some folks need to do today? Wake up.
Right.
Wake up. Just wake up. Your little church membership. Your little time when you believe you got something that you didn't get anything, and now you're a twofold child of the devil.
Oh,
because of your religion.
No.
Stinks. And so it is, the Bible said there was suddenly an earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Just didn't rattle the brick and the lintel over the door. He got down to the foundation. That's where folks need to come to the understanding of God's good grace. They need a foundation awakening. They need a shaking underfoot, amen. This little touch, this little carrying on, this little feel-good experience. I wouldn't give you 15 cents, folks.
Right, brother.
Oh no, the foundation got shook. It got moved.
Yes, sir.
The Bible tells us, the scriptures tells us about our foundation, that the foundation of God standeth strong.
Amen.
And he knoweth him there.
Yes. Amen.
I don't have to walk into the presence of the Lord. And that's Jesus to you, amen. I don't have to ask you. Lord, would you know who I am? Oh no. What's your name, boy? David Wall. Did you know Jesus knows my name? He don't call me it. He called me by my name.
Amen.
And the scripture said he knoweth his sheep by name.
Mm-hmm.
And they hear his voice.
Yes.
They hear his voice. Not another. They were my father. All them books you had laid on your table last night's garbage.
You better believe it.
Now I've got the truth.
That's right, man. You better believe it.
Yes.
Scripture said the earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loose. I'd like to ask you that are of the world. I'd like to ask you sinners in here this morning. I'd like to ask you one question. What do you propose that this world do with us? I'd like to ask you a question. What's your explanation that this world do with us? Some folks would say key. You can do that. You can kill it. But we'll be back.
Right. Amen.
You ain't done with us.
Nope. Amen.
Did you know the Bible that I read and the scripture that I preach and act says that the righteous judge of all things?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Says the righteous will judge all things. Judge of all things. It ain't just that Jesus Christ one day is going to judge you sinners. No Baptist preacher is going to judge.
Right. Right.
You don't like that, do you? You holler about that. You crow about that now for years. You're not my judge. Come on, today, but we'll be mine.
That's right.
Wonder what they're going to think, Jody. A little short gal like you, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, stand before other ladies, judging as to how they did according to their children and their family. It's going to be kind of embarrassing for some of you folks. We're going to judge somebody. You're not done with us. You don't just write us off and say we rid of this earth. They thought they got rid of John the Baptist.
Hmm.
But even old Herod had some pretty troublesome hours after that.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Even to the point that Jesus Christ, he said it. And they said it. I believe it's old John come back from the dead. Make this world very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Good. We love to see you nervous. I'm telling you, you're not done with us. By no means, don't get it in your head that you're going to eradicate. Listen, the devil had it in his head that he was going to eradicate all them Jews and settle that rivalry in there, said there would be no Christ.
That's right.
But the Christ of glory,
yes,
my beloved, is seated today at the right hand of the Father.
Yes, sir.
Making intercessions for me.
Amen.
He ain't going to eradicate it. Yeah, they hung him on the cross, but he had the power to lay it down and the power to
take it. That's right. Yes, sir.
It's good.
Oh, yes. He laid it down and he took it up again. And power and glory and honor belong to him now forever and forever and forever. Church. The blood wars. I'm not talking about the membership of Black Creek Baptist Church.
leadership that you got on that board, probably half, two-thirds of it's wrong and rotten anyway.
Try it.
Now I'm talking about them that had their name written in the book of life.
Amen.
I'm talking about them that he took his hand out. My preaching in the book, Dr. Roger, and the Bible said he wrote our names in the palm.
Oh, I love it.
What are you going to do about that, devil?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about that world? Paul, listen, it ain't just enough that he knows my name, but he wrote it in the palm of his hand, amen. Hell, this world's not done with me, and I'm not done with it. And for 1,000 years, there's going to be a time of rule and righteousness that the saints of God are going to dictate to the very families. Better get all your blood light drinking today than you want. But there won't be no blood wiser during the millennium.
Better get all your drugs taken tonight, because the hour is coming with you. No drugs.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know who'll be the head man in Black Creek. Might be Brother Ashley. Oh, they say, oh, God forbid it. I want to tell you, whoever God puts in charge, you rest assured, his judgment will be absolutely righteous to the glory.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Son.
Right.
Amen.
So the Bible tells us, we're getting to the message, we're just still in the introduction now. The Bible tells us here that they were loosed, and the keeper of the prison awake out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, but supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here intact." And the scripture said, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "What's so hard about this? What's so difficult about this? Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Some of you have spent all week long evading, rambling around, trying to get away, trying to make something so hard that's so simple. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What's so hard about that little statement? Other than your sinking flesh.
Right.
And you're sorry, low down, who you are, not wanting to come to terms with Jesus Christ.
Come on.
Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Here's a jailer that has beaten her here. No doubt he's used some mighty profanity. No doubt what he said. But now he says, sirs. Isn't it amazing how things change in people's lives when they want to get right with God?
They're believing.
I've told that before they get right. Isn't it amazing how they... I've seen them, Dr. Ashford. I've seen them quit doing everything you could imagine, trying to get yourself up to a level or a plateau where they can say, "Lord, here I am. I cleaned her up now. I'm accepted." I wonder if her sin... I just wonder if you could put enough Johnson glow coat on that head to get God to accept it. I'll tell you, Gino, her Dr. Haynes over here, that wax they call, I believe it's Bell machine. You make this world shine and look right in the sight of Almighty. You're a sinner on the hill. And only He can change you from that wicked vile person you are. Someone said, "I ain't done nothing. You're still wicked." And they said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm amazed when you get in the average Baptist church, walls is given for an explanation on how to get saved. I'm amazed at it. "Well, preacher, son, here's what you're going to have to do. I spent 5 years in seminary, and I have a doctorate and a PhD, and I have this, and I've got that, and I work. And let me tell you how to get saved. You're going to have to go down the road of do right, and make a turn down your own Holy Ghost lane, and over across the Hallelujah Hill of being recognized for notoriety, and then make a little turn in the right. That was like you said today, sir. It's a straight shot from where you're at to Calvary. There is no way to come into my church. It's a straight shot."
to give them a seven-point message. One of the, what do they call that? An exegesis? Is that what you call that?
Exegesis.
Exegesis. I think that's a flat tire on a semi. I'm not sure. But they're going to give this great big outline. Here's the next simple statement. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what it did.
That's what it did. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And got up saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I didn't go ask my mama.
Yes,
mama, went to the altar. You think I'm saved? I didn't ask my daddy. They didn't take me before they needed more. They didn't take me before I committed and say, this young man wants you to put your approval on your salvation.
Nobody's ever done that to me.
No, sir. No need to.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
What's so hard about believing? I'll tell you what's hard about it is you make it hard.
Right.
The fellow in the pulpit makes it hard. Men try to make it different. But God made it so simple that though a man be a wayfaring man, though a man be a man of lesser stature, he need not enter that place called David.
That's right.
What do you do? You come up here service after service after service. And as much as call God a liar and defy what God says to the truth of that book.
Right.
And will not believe the simplicity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'd be ashamed if I was you.
Come on.
I would be ashamed to claim that this is the Bible and I believe it. And to then so brazenly stand before this thrice holy God and put no stock in the fact that he could change my old wretched soul from what it is to a new creature.
Yes, sir.
Disgusting, to say the least.
Yes,
sir. Over in the book of Acts, Brother Roger, help me here a little bit. We used to have them old tag team matches. You know what a tag team match is? You know when they wrestle, one gets out of the hero's gym and tag team and then he gets up.
Right.
I like him to preach in tag team. Now I'm tag old Brother Roger here. Amen. In the book of Acts, put on him, Philip. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 8. You read about him.
Mm-hmm.
And he met this Ethiopian eunuch. Do you believe that's some kind of science fictional? Do you believe that to be the truth?
Yes.
I believe it to be as much as the truth of 8 as the new and 16 where I'm preaching from.
Amen.
Where'd the old Ethiopian eunuch been to? Jerusalem. He'd been to church.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he'd heard a little something, but he didn't comprehend all that he would like to comprehend. So the Holy Spirit of God, a lot of people, a lot of Baptists, that prophecy. Said, the Holy Spirit of God told Philip. What did he tell Philip, Richard? Stand up there and tell us what he told him. What did he tell him? He told him to go down towards a certain direction. And who did he run into down there?
The Ethiopian.
He ran into the Ethiopian.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go down to some other place. He did what God told him to do.
Right.
Isn't that what Christians do?
Yes.
Of the experience of your own life? Is that not what you've done? Apparently you have done that and done it well because your life and your home, and I've been in your home and your life, it seems to be a very pleasant place, and I sense the presence and the power of God in your home.
Mm-hmm.
When you do what God says, you'll honor it.
Better believe.
When you call him a liar, you won't do what he says and don't expect any less. So he met the old Ethiopian eunuch. A man that's in charge of a lot of things, the scripture tells us. And he was in the book of Isaiah, was it not, Dr. Ashton?
Sure was.
And he was questioning what he was trying to read as to who it was, what it talked about. That's why God called preachers. He doesn't call preachers to be pulpiteers. He doesn't call preachers to be playboys. The Bible said, how should they hear without a preacher? God send this preacher over to spend a little time with the Ethiopian.
Amen.
When the preacher got there and the Ethiopian began to question, the preacher then said, well, I'll tell you what I think will happen. We'll have a socialist Thursday night.
I'll hit you out with that a little bit. Tell you what, if you take me out to supper or give me a generous love off, and I'll kind of hit you with what you're trying to find out. Ireland. He said, who's he talking about? Want to know who it was here that he was talking to? What about, what's the scripture tell us that he said? Charlie, what's the scripture say that he said, huh? Who's he talking about? There you go. This Jesus of Isaiah 53. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's still getting them, but she used to could. She could quote that chapter, Isaiah 53. He preached unto him about one that was bruised for his iniquities, for all of his. I'm going to tell you something. I can read Acts chapter 8 of what that Philip preached to that Ethiopian eunuch. I can go to Isaiah 53 and read it. I can see me. I can hear me. I can see me in that. I can see me right there in the pages of the old book. And what did Philip tell that Ethiopian eunuch? What did he tell him, huh? Thou wilt believe with what? All thine heart. Thou what?
Being baptized.
I'd like to ask you, what's the heart of that thing? What is it? Why is that so different? You know what you've done? You've listened to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. And you're willing to take what they say rather than take what that book says. I'm not buying their bag of trinkets.
Come on.
Horse rides and jellyfish and dumping boots and anything else they got. I ain't buying into that deal, boy. Leave that book. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You say, I've done that. Have you? If you have, you're saved. And here's what follows in pursuit of that. The Bible said here, this passage of Scripture, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But he just didn't say saved. He said in thy house. In thy house. Thy house.
Amen.
You can't even believe salvation for yourself, much less for anybody else. That's how pitiful you are. In thy house. They spake unto him the word of the Lord. Somebody said, don't you ever get tired of preaching? Preach 2 hours this morning. No. Went in over there and used the facilities and come over here and I'm ready to preach another 2 hours. Somebody said, you're long-winded. Yeah, and you wish I weren't. The Bible said they preached unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. All that were in his house, they preached the word to him. The gospel's for everybody. I don't care what the Calvinists say.
Right, yeah.
Bible said it in the book of Peter, he is long-suffering to us, would not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his house, straightway. Well, I'm saved, preacher. Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. You can tell me. You got right, we ain't seen you in 6 months. You got right. You're so holier than the rest of us, you don't even have to come to church, do you? Aren't we lucky to have you? I'm telling you, just knowing how holy you are makes me feel like so. I feel like being around me, I become a stink. The scripture said in the same night, same hour, you worship. You see, when people get saved, they want to make wrong, a right their wrongs. You can't get still built up, but they like to try. This crowd can just go any old way and do any old time and do what they want to. Never have any apologies about anything. I won't put no stock in. How long have you been a Christian? A saved. They ain't one time. A saved Christian. How do you? That's my wife over there. She's almost my age, not far behind. She looks a lot younger.
She's my oldest daughter. She's not. She's my wife. She's not far behind me. How long have you been a Christian, Charlie? Do you not think it's right that you, being an older woman than this woman, that you should be faithful and dedicated and set an example to her of what a Christian ought to be? Not only in church, but in marriage, along with some other things. Don't you think you ought to exhibit to her the matter that she's to be in subjection or submission to her husband? And don't you think that includes you too? That means you've got to put your Harley Davidson that time. I could say something. You think I should?
Yeah.
I've never seen a day when marriage, the matter of marriage, was taken so lightly. It's just something you go into the courthouse and inquire, whatever they call it. I don't know, it's been so long since we got there. I don't know. I guess they've gone up there. Maybe they've got cheaper. I don't know. They give them to everybody. They and I didn't really. I'll tell you something. My marriage is something special, boy. My home is something special. God sanctioned and ordained my marriage. I don't know what Bill and Jeff's going to say. I'm telling you how it is with me. Same night, the Bible said, the same hour of the night, they washed their stripes.
Amen.
And we're past midnight. I don't know what I guess, is that heaven or not? Are you pretty intelligent? Is that the same hour after midnight? Is that what it's saying? Or it's in the morning? I know that. The scripture said, he washed their stripes. He brings these fellows in. The Bible tells us here in bringing them in, he washed their stripes. And the Bible said, he spake unto him the word of the Lord. He took them by the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. He rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. How long have you all been married, brother? Roger, would you tell me?
53 years.
Can you see now waking a woman up in the morning hours and very young to fix a big meal for some folks? You can't even fix, most of them can't even fix one for their husband. Necessities and one for anybody else.
Do you not realize what time it is?
Why don't you get in bed and act like a civilized human being? We've got the party. This is Thursday. Tomorrow night, we'll be at late partying. Most women don't want anybody in their home, including a lot of times their husbands. Especially somebody showing the dirty a kitchen plate. And fix something for them? Good gracious, sake alive. What are you asking the world to be moved? I remember a time when preachers used to come to the home. They don't come no more. Some of them you can't. They call it one of them domestic issues, one of them matters, you get hurt, if not healed. I remember a time when a man's house was his castle. It had not been much, but it was his castle. But you know how most folks think today? They've arrived in society to the point of place. They live in that big fine house in that gated community with the HOA. You know what HOA is? That's a home. Homeowners Association.
Uh-huh.
Well, they decree that you have to cut your grass at a certain time. And you can't paint your house any colors till you get approved by the HOA. I tell you how elite some people are in this whole world. You're so much better than everybody else. What if they let you bring that little trailer you got up there and pull it in there alongside? Has anybody wrote you up over there in that elite subdivision of yours, the HOA board, and told you you don't have skirting on that thing, son? Did you get it on yesterday? You are in violation of the HOA board. I'm the HOA president. You and I, you could go to the electric chair for this. I remember a time when people were grateful for having a little something more than somebody else. But now they think they're better than everybody else. You smell like hog jam. Used to be a time when people had a little love in their heart and cared for somebody else.
Amen.
We come in from a meeting here a few weeks back. We was in Indiana, didn't we? Now, I live on a farm, but the property line is pretty close by. I live in a nice home. Some of you have seen pictures of it. My neighbor had painted this little outbuilding that sits within 12 feet of the property line. What color is that? Green. Is it evergreen?
Apple.
And he's trimming it in blue.
Oh,
kind of like getting his door down yonder at the Springs, that yellow house down yonder. I seen that yellow house when I left Cuba. You know, somebody said, don't that bother you? I don't care. That's pink pocket out. It's on his property. I don't care.
That's right.
If he likes it, I like it. You know what's wrong with most people? They're so much better than anybody else. They can't mind their own business at all. And you've got the attitude, you're so holy and whatever, that nobody could ever get saved but like how you got saved. Oh, what a touch in the side of God. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the heart of that day? Hey, Eric.
Stand up there, huh?
Could you cite your ABCs for me, please?
ABC.
All 26 of them. That is ABC.
Sure.
What's the heart of that thing?
That's a sign.
What's so difficult about that? Of course, that citing your ABCs is way, way below your level. You probably got several educated degrees, and you know so much that you can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt. Not maybe, not possibly, it could be, it might happen. No, thou shalt be saved. You know why? If you believe, God can't lie to you. He said, you call the answer. Ain't never been a sinner ever called on God and got a business in.
That's right.
Ain't never been one. They call on the Lord. They call. I was a little boy. I'd never been to Israel. I didn't even know about the tabernacle, the brazen altar, the table of showbread. I didn't know nothing about nothing. But I'll tell you what, I didn't know I was a sinner. I know that. Somebody said, how did you know that? Holy son. I said, what'd you do? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, how? I guess so. How hard's that?
How hard's it? And trip after trip after trip after trip after trip. I'm telling you the truth. Wear a bald spot on the back of a monkey's head. Amen. Not to mention the one he's got elsewhere.
How disgusting. How pitiful. To belittle the truth of what God says and what he'll do by your actions. I know as you get older it gets more difficult. I understand that. And I acknowledge readily that I have not experienced what some of you people have. But in all you've experienced, that does not change one single factor having to do with the truth of what God says.
That's right.
I'm telling you, this Philippian jailer was a man, a jailer. He was a man just like him. And that night, brother, he said, sir, what must I do to be saved? I have said this in belief. And he was sorrowful, not only for what he had been, what he was, and he wanted the Lord, and he got it, but he said, I want to make things right with these creatures. Or right.
He sure did, brother.
And he said, he brought them into his house. And he fed them. He poured them.
Don't you just love these folks that claim they're saved and want to give you a piece of their mind?
Uh-huh.
And you know when they start, they ain't got much left. Do me a favor and do yourself a favor. Keep what little bit you got. You need it worse than I do. And if you don't think you need it worse than I do, take a good look in the mirror at yourself. Just your appearance, how you conduct yourself, will make it very clear that you need all the value you've got and then some. I know folks of years and days gone by that were wretched sinners, Brother Roger, that lived a better life and a more decent life.
That's right.
Than a lot of people.
We got it. That's right.
Amen.
Right.
I know some men and women of yesterday
that were sinners and would look you in the face when you talked to them and said, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I know I'm a sinner." You can't even get them to admit that now.
No.
I used to write to one hole. I walked in the house one time, not far from where I pastored, and a number of them were drinking. They immediately got up, took them to the other room, said, "Preacher, we apologize.
You come in and catch us like this. We're sorry for it." Nowadays, you go in, you know what to do? You care for a blue ribbon. "Are you thirsty, preacher? Would you like ours? A Bud Light?" I tell you, that thing's good. That's where we come to.
Right.
People used to, wicked they may be, used to be that the house of God, you didn't have to worry about anybody bothering it or being destroyed. Can I tell you all the stories that I go up down where I'm at? We'll spend the afternoon if we do. Somebody tell me what time. That's why we got a clock over here. I better look for myself. You might tell me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what's true about it. All my life, never seen the people like. I have never seen when you can preach to people night after night after night, night after night after night. Preach the truth of this book. Preach it with the power of God. And they'll go out of their way to believe something else. I have never seen nothing like it. I've never, never have I ever seen the beast alive. Old man Blue, the old Indian, getting the pulpit, preach, and old man Blue, they'd start coming to the altar and getting saved before we ever got there. People acknowledge we're sinners and we need to be saved.
Amen.
Nowadays, they want to sit there and give you a dialogue of words and an arrangement of speeches. And I said, "Well, now, I figured all this out. I punched in on the internet. What must I do to be saved?" And Rick Warren told me this, and Joel Osteen told me that. And of course, Joel Osteen, he's been pretty busy here lately. You know, Joel is the one that went back to that Annalisa Parker, the mayor of Houston. He's the one that on her daughter. He blessed her administration. She's the best. Oh, everybody would want to listen in. I'm going to put it in the internet, and I'm going to ask that question, because I'm going to research this. I know there's got to be some deep, deep information out there on there.
You know what you're going to do? And I'm going to be real candid with you. You're going to burn in the deep, charred walls of hell. That's what kind of death you're going to have. I've got the truth. I believe the truth. I know tonight, today, without any reservation, I know that I know.
Oh, what'd you do, preacher? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, what kind of position would I take? I believe you'd lie to me. He never lied to me. Why would I think he'd start lying to me, man?
Ain't gonna do it.
Told me the truth from the very day one when I come to realize I was a sinner.
Amen.
This day, I stand before you in this church. I'm saved. Heaven's my home. My name's been written down. You're
going to
burn in hell.
You're going to burn in hell with your church membership. You're going to burn in hell with your little hope. You have no substance whatsoever. All because you wouldn't exercise this simple faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary. Is there anybody in here that don't believe Jesus Christ died on the cross? Don't even believe I'm such a person? Apparently, a lot of people believe that, because that crash you had last night, that's what it was exploding. That's what it was exploding.
Right.
I'm going to just take you to your face. That memory in that made me about half mad.
That's right.
Yes, sir. It started in my righteous indignation.
Bad stuff.
Bad stuff. And I've got some copies.
Yep.
Well, I got another lock and key. Mm-hmm. The belief sits trash. Who did you call on that day down at your house? Billy Shankles?
No.
Called John Ashley when I didn't know it?
No.
You. Who did you call on? Called on Jesus. Didn't he answer? He evidently didn't. I certainly see a change in the to be a husband. But you can't say that for some of your family that's been here and attended this church and made a profession of faith.
Right.
I don't like that. I don't care what you like. We're just praying the truth.
Yes, sir. God.
On in here, Donna. Sit down. Where you been? Walk back there. On in here. Where's Donna? What's she doing in there?
You know,
she's what?
She's in there here.
Smart out of it. They haven't been supposed to get to go out of the church for the night.
Scrap with it and see what's going on. All that stuff arouses my curiosity. I guess I'm too curious. What's that old saying? Folks used to say curiosity killed a cat. Good to have nine lives, did it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Sir, what must I do? I want to ask you. Have you asked yourself that question, what you needed to do to be saved? Well, here's the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that shall be saved. Isn't that hard?
Let's stand, please. Standing in our place in the pews without any further ado. I want to ask you a question.
Do about this man called Jesus today.